You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
On this, the fifth day of 2018, the first podcast of 2018 for the Indians, and today pinch hitting for Jordan Bastian, our good friend Anthony Castrovince. Castro, we thank you as always for the time, and what we're doing today is simply taking a look ahead to this very promising and talented and deep Indian squad for 2018, answering the five biggest questions that the tribe faces as they look to reach the promised land here in 2018. So, Anthony, want to start here. You look at this Indians rotation in 2017, and they were just dynamite, led by the Cy Young winner, Corey Kluber. They were good. They were durable. They ate innings. They were very effective. But baseball being the cruel vixen that she is it reasonable to expect at least a little regression from this group in 2018?
Yeah, I mean, you hit on the key word, Matt, which is durable, and it's just hard to count on that from year to year. We see that. And, you know, sometimes the greatest indicator of future injury is past injury. And, you know, Danny Salazar, of course, you know, continued to have struggles with the elbow in 2017. So remains to be seen how he holds up going forward. And, you know, I think about Corey Kluber's back, of course, was a big topic of conversation early in 2017, and then again at the end of 2017 when he labored in the playoffs. So it's going to be tough to repeat. I think just the sheer performance alone is tough to repeat. I mean, there by some measures, this was a historic pitching staff in 2017. So, you know, they might have to rely on the offense a little more. You never know. The one good thing the Indians have going for them going into the year and, you know, going into spring training is just pure depth. And, you know, like Ryan Merritt is an example of a guy out of options who doesn't really have an obvious role on the staff right now. You know, should things crop up in spring training, which tends to happen, you know, when guys report and start, you know, throwing pitches in earnest, you know, sometimes they come up with some things. And so that depth is important to have going into the year.
Yeah, you take a look at the Cubs in 2016, the year they won the World Series. Obviously, that rotation was historically good, and you just can't expect to duplicate that again. And that's, you know, what happened to the Cubs in 2017. They were still good, but not historically good as they were in 2016. The Indians hoping to avoid that same fate here in 2018. Anthony, Terry Francona on more than one occasion has just heaped praise upon praise upon praise for Brian Shaw and the work he did out of that bullpen for a number of years. You know, Cody Allen and Andrew Miller, they're kind of the marquee guys of that pen, and they get the lion's share of the attention, and deservedly so. But Francona, again, he just said Brian Shaw was such an unsung hero of that bullpen. He, of course, has moved on. How tough is it going to be to replace him?
You know, very tough. I don't think they will replace him just in terms of his durability. And, you know, just the ability to take the ball for so many innings in a given year and year after year in his case, pretty much a freak of nature when it comes to that. So, but as far as the performance goes, you know, other guys just have to step up and they step into more prominent roles. I mean, Dan Otero and Nick Goody in house, you know, those are two guys who you're going to see in more high leverage spots than we did last season. So, it's the combined effect of losing Shaw and Joe Smith, who's an important trade pickup for them midseason. You know, they just invited a bunch of guys from their system to spring training camp, and, you know, there could be more exposure for those guys here moving forward over the course of 2017, because, of course, bullpens are always a moving target and a lot of guys filter in and out. But yeah, as far as identifying those trusted options, you know, Otero, Goody, McAllister, you know, these are guys who Terry Francona is going to have to determine if he can trust them in the big moments as the year goes along, because we've seen it so often, Matt, the evolution in this game, we've seen in recent years that it's not about having an elite closer. It's not even about having an elite closer paired with an elite setup man. It's about having four, five, six guys that you can count on night after night after night, because starters just don't go as deep into the games as they traditionally did, even in a great rotation like the Indians have. So I'm also curious to see just, you know, the remainder of this winter, if they're obviously they have a limited budget here. You know, these last 6 weeks or so before spring training, but there's still a lot of bullpen arms out there, not the high, you know, profile guys who really flew off the shelves early in the winter, but still a lot of options out there. And for a team that's been really good about identifying, you know, kind of bargain buys in that department, you know, this is their chance to shine because they're going to need them.
Yeah, no question. And like you said, it's going to take more than just one guy to replace Brian Shaw. It's going to be, you know, two or three guys to kind of fill that role and be complementary pieces to the guys that we know are going to be lights out. And Andrew Miller, Cody Allen, and even throw Dan Otero into that mix, as he's been very good for the Indians the past couple years. Anthony, Michael Brantley has always been kind of a fascinating topic to discuss. A guy that as recently as a couple years ago, a top three finisher in a MVP voting. I almost said Cy Young. Maybe he can pitch too. I don't know. But he a top three finisher in the MVP vote. Of course, he's been hampered by injuries in the past year or two. How concerning right now are the health issues of Michael Brantley? Can we have full confidence that he's going to be healthy and be the Michael Brantley we know he can be?
Well, first of all, after two shoulder surgeries in the recent past, I don't think we'll see him on the mound anytime soon. But and now, of course, coming off the ankle injury. And look, I understand why the Indians picked up that option, you know, relative to the marketplace. I think in the open market, Michael Brantley would have commanded that and probably a multi-year deal from some other club. And they value him so much, his presence in that clubhouse and in that lineup. And we saw, you know, in 2017, when healthy, he was an all-star. He was a legitimately great comeback story. In the first half of the year. And then the ankle injury, of course, occurred in August, and that was pretty much that. He was a non-factor in the postseason. So I understand the fan frustration with spending that amount of money. Again, if you have a limited budget in the winter, allocating that amount of money to a guy who is coming off so many injuries in the recent past, I get the concern or consternation there on the part of the fans. I also get another part of the Indians of, you know, why they felt that was necessary to do. Ultimately, you know, I mean, this is such an obvious answer, but yeah, he has to stay healthy and fundamentally. So, you know, they signed Yonder Alonso to play first base, so that kind of crushes the idea of perhaps Brantley, you know, moving to first, even on a limited basis, you know, to kind of help preserve that body a bit. And whether that would have even been the case, who knows? But I don't count on him being in there on opening day. I think they're, you know, approaching it realistically. I mean, they hope in the latter part of April he'll be a factor for them. So, yeah, he's going to be a key X factor again this year. I feel like we've been saying this every winter, and we have the last three winters now, where identifying Michael Brantley as a huge X factor for the Indians, and it's once again true.
Yeah, well, he's nothing if not consistent, right? That is, again, a topic for Brantley coming into 2018, and we'll see what happens there. Anthony, a few more to wrap up. Jose Ramirez, if not for transcendent years by Aaron Judge and Jose Altuve, he would have been the AL MVP. He was that good in 2017, a top three finisher. But there's some uncertainty as to whether he's a second baseman, a third baseman. If he's a second baseman, what does that mean for Jason Kipnis? Does he go to the outfield? If that happens, who does that displace right there? Whole bunch of dominoes could fall. How do you think Terry Francona is going to sort this whole thing out?
Well, first of all, the Brantley situation that we just discussed, you know, the possibility that he's not exactly ready for, you know, the start of the regular season. I could foresee Jason Kipnis out there in left field at the start of the season, at least, and then kind of figure it out from there. But, you know, their first preference is for Jose Ramirez to be at second base. I think we saw it with Kipnis on the shelf in the latter part of the year, and they go on that 22-game winning streak. You know, Ramirez is the second baseman, Lindor at short. It was a really special combination up the middle. They were just better defensively. And, of course, what Ramirez brings you at the plate, no matter where he's playing, is if it's anything like it was in 2017, it's valuable. So, you know, that's their best defensive alignment. They did try to trade Kipnis. It's no secret this winter. You know, him making $13 million, that would have been, you know, money they could free up to do other things. And maybe that still happens, but it obviously hasn't happened to date. So, so ultimately, you know, when Brantley is healthy, I could see Kipnis floating back and forth between positions, you know, second base and in the outfield, depending on what the daily concoction is in that lineup. But and that could mean Ramirez going back and forth between second and third, which, you know, it's not ideal. You want him plugged into one position on an everyday basis, but he's also shown the aptitude, the ability to do it. So you might want to kind of take advantage of that. But, yeah, a lot of moving parts. I mean, Yandy Diaz over at third base. Giovanni Urshela is going to be out of options, so he'll be interesting in spring training what happens there. But, you know, Yandy Diaz might have the biggest pure upside for them, you know, in the early part of the year. And he could be in the corner outfield. He could be at third base. The other X factor here is Francisco Mejia, the number one prospect. And, you know, he's seen some time at third base in the latter part of the minor league season and the Arizona Fall League. So I would not be shocked if he's a contributor at the big league level in the first half of the year and potentially at the hot corner.
Yeah, a lot of pieces to sort through for Terry Francona. It's a, as the saying goes, a good problem to have, but there's still a lot of sorting out to do to figure out what is the best alignment for all concerned for the 2018 season. Anthony, one more to wrap up. Of course, the Indians have been among baseball's elite teams the past couple seasons, coming oh so close to winning it all in 2016, and then of course the heartbreaking ALDS defeat at the hands of the Yankees this past year. How much longer do you think this this window is going to be open for the Indians to not just be a good team, but a legit World Series contender?
Well, they have controllable assets in their starting rotation, which in many cases is half the battle. But I think the Mets are a good example of how quickly the window maybe doesn't shut, but it certainly changes if health invades that starting rotation. So that's the danger there. The other danger for the Indians, of course, is that as much as they've relied on the starting rotation, they've also been probably equally reliant on the back end of that bullpen with Cody Allen and Andrew Miller, and both those guys running their walk years. And we've seen the price of bullpen help has dramatically escalated in this game, where, you know, Brian Shaw just got a contract that in terms of average annual value was the same as Andrew Miller's contract. So it just goes to show where that's headed, where that market is headed. And, so the odds of the Indians bringing back one or both of those guys is perhaps slim. So that's going to be a fascinating dynamic a year from now, and that just kind of speaks to the importance of maximizing this situation right now. The division will get better. You know, the White Sox are building something potentially special on the south side. The Twins are coming. We saw that last year where they snuck into the wild card game, and they have, you know, some really nice young pieces in that lineup. So I really love the Indians' projection for 2018. I think they are in a good position to potentially even dominate the division again. Certainly, they're in a good position to be the clear favorite, you know, going into the year. But, you know, are we going to be able to say that going into 2019, 2020? I'm not as sure, just because of those dynamics that I just mentioned. So it's all about this moment, Matt. And there was that's what made the division series, you know, exit in 2017 so frustrating. It was obviously a legitimately great team, one of the best teams in Major League Baseball by any measure. And you had the momentum of that 22-game streak and all that stuff, and they didn't take advantage of it. So they clearly got to capitalize on 2018.
Yeah, maybe you don't go quite as far to say 2018 is make or break, but it's darn close, and I know that the Indians know that, and they want to do something special here in 2018 because from year to year, things are never the same. A lot of uncertainty, and we'll see if that sense of urgency produces a few more W's in October for this very talented Indians team. Anthony Castrovins, great stuff as always. We appreciate the time, and we will chat again soon. In the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, Cleveland Indians.